This week on the Montana Mint Sports Podcast, we have Amy Just from the Missoulian to talk about the Montana versus Savannah State game and how the Grizzlies will prepare for the rest of the season without their quarterback, Reese Phillips. We're also going to be hearing from Jasper Moonshot, our Missoula correspondent, about what he thinks so far about the Grizzlies season. We're going to preview Montana State versus North Dakota, Montana versus Eastern Washington. We're going to get our gambling picks from Montana Parlay, and then we're going to go around the Big Sky and give some grades out again. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast. You can go to the Google Store, iTunes Store, or Stitcher. Search Montana Men Sports, search for Cat Grizz, and we'll come up. We'll let Laney Lou and the Bird Dogs play you in. It's week four. It's conference season. We're ready to roll. It's the Montana Mint Sports Podcast. We have a jam-packed pod for you today. As you heard, we're going to get it started. Amy Just from the Missoulian writes about the Grizzlies, follows the Grizzlies. It's the Grizzlies' leading beat reporter. She sat down with our own Bear Tycoon to talk about last week's game against Savannah State and also what the Grizzlies' season will look like going forward without Reese Phillips. On that note, we want to send all our love to Reese. That was a horrible injury to see. It doesn't matter if you're a Cat fan. It doesn't matter if you're a Grizz fan. We hope you get better, young man. And we wish you all the success. Here's Amy. Here's Bear Tycoon.
Here to talk to us about the Reese Phillips injury is Amy Jess. She's the Grizz beat reporter for the Missoulian and at 406mtsports.com. You can find her on Twitter at Amy underscore Just. That's Amy, A-M-I-E underscore Just.
Thanks for having me.
What did you have for breakfast on Saturday, and were you able to keep it down after seeing Reese Phillips' injury?
So I have a bagel with cream cheese every morning for breakfast, and no, I was not able to keep it down, actually. Foot injuries, they hit home for me. I had a pretty bad one in high school, and I don't know. I managed to keep it down for a little bit, but it wouldn't stay down.
It was horrific. You were at the game. Tell us how the stadium reacted to the injury.
Yeah, so is the players were coming off of the pile, and everybody was standing up, and Reese was laying face down on the ground, and he wasn't moving other than his leg twitching really bad, which I think is just his body going into shock. People in the stands realized pretty quickly that this was really serious, especially since the trainers went out onto the field and called for the cart almost right away. And when that happens, you know it's serious, even if you're not, looking at the injury.
Yeah.
But, all of the air had been pretty much sucked out of the stadium. It was really quiet, kind of eerie almost. It was really quiet. Other than the music playing in the background, you could probably hear a pin drop. It was pretty quiet.
Reese put out a statement. And his mom was tweeting the night of the injury, but he has a shattered fibula. He ruptured most of the ligaments in his foot, and he dislocated his foot. Are you hearing anything in terms of timing for recovery? I mean, obviously he's done for the year, but just as a person, how long does an injury like this take to bounce back?
So I don't know the timeline for him. He is going to give a press conference when he's more mobile, which I'm not exactly sure what the timeline of that is. But when I broke all the bones in my foot when I was in high school, I was on crutches for several months. So gonna be it's gonna be a long road for him for sure, because my injury was nowhere near as gruesome or as, you know, just overhauling the entire foot.
Yeah,
it's gonna take a while for him to be back to normal in terms of, you know, walking and even putting any pressure on it whatsoever. Dog's definitely with him as he's going through what's going to be a really long recovery.
The images were really tough to look at. Watching on TV, I had to pause the TV because my brain couldn't comprehend what had just happened and what I was looking at. And then obviously realized that it was a really bad injury. There was a lot of discussion on Twitter following the injury about if the picture and the video should be posted. We at the Mint decided not to post the picture. And I know you decided not to do the same, as you're obviously more of a real reporter than us. Kind of give us your thinking and the thought process in terms of making a call like that.
So I'm pretty conservative when it comes to injury photos. I don't like them personally, just because some of them are pretty gross to look at, and especially since I couldn't keep down my bagel on Saturday.
Right.
I didn't want it on my timeline because I didn't want to see it, but I also have a ton of the players and the coaches follow me, and I didn't really want them to see it if I would have retweeted it or something. And plus, you know, I respect, you know, Reese and every player that I, deal with on a day-to-day basis, and I just didn't want to put it out there on my personal account just because of how gross it was, and, you know, just knowing that who follows me and all that stuff. I just didn't think it was appropriate for me to share it on my Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough for everyone, including the Grizz players. Coach Bob Stitt talked after the game about this, kind of the difficulty of needing to immediately move on from the injury and continue on with the game. The big question going forward for Grizz fans is kind of the state of quarterback play. You follow the team closer than about anybody. Give us your thoughts on the next man up and the depth of the Grizzly QB situation.
So, in my personal opinion, I don't think there's too much of a drop-off talent-wise between Reese and the next man up in Gresh Jensen. However, Jensen is a redshirt freshman and doesn't have the experience that Reese does, which is one of the bigger, knocks on Jensen, you know, if there were any. But, you know, Jensen came in on Saturday and played relatively well. You know, he threw for 3 touchdown passes and had 1 on the ground of his own. You know, he played relatively well on Saturday, you know, everything considered. You know, it's hard to see a teammate go down like that and then have to play in that situation.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine doing it. But, you know, Gresh did what he was called upon to do. All the players that I've talked to about Gresh, they have the utmost confidence in him. They're not worried about him at all. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, no, first start against Eastern Washington, you can't get much of a more difficult situation to be thrown into than that, I don't think.
Yeah, and I mean, you're exactly right in terms of getting Gresh some reps going against a team like Savannah State. That's kind of best case scenario, get familiar with the system. But the Eagles are going to be a completely different story. What are you expecting out of the Grizz this weekend? What do you think is best case scenario, and what are your expectations going in?
So I haven't watched all of the film that I want to watch yet, but I'm expecting it to be a pretty close game, but of course, you know, I don't I can't see the future, so I could be wrong. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be bad for Montana. You know, the offensive line is a veteran O-line. You know, they've been there you know, David Reese has been a starter for 4 years. You know, he started all but two games his entire career, and he's, you know, dealt with this before, you know, having to replace quarterbacks back there and protect someone, you know, protect them. And he's not worried about Grush being back there, and yeah, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, Eastern Washington's offensive unit is still scary, like it was last year. You know, granted, don't have Cooper Kupp anymore or any of the other main targets that the Brood had, but you know, he's still making it work back there in the pocket, you know, both with his arm and his legs. So it'll be interesting to see how Montana does against a more mobile quarterback, because I haven't seen that yet this season.
Well, we appreciate you being on. One last question. In your Twitter bio, you say that you scrapbook your hate mail. What is the funniest piece of hate mail that you've received?
Oh, man. So a lot of the hate mail that I received is actually kind of mean. not a lot of it's very funny. But I not only scrapbook my hate mail, but I put the funny ones as my desktop screensaver on my computer at work, and I currently have the Other Grid Media House Suite. Sorry. That's pretty funny. Another one, when I was working as an intern at the Washington Post, somebody said that I'm like a 30-year-old person who dresses like Hillary Clinton with no fashion sense at all. It's funny. I'm 22, and I wear jeans and, you know, t-shirts and beanies pretty much every day. So, yeah, no, I thought that was pretty funny. But that's a good one. It doesn't bother me. I think it's kind of funny that people go out of their way to, like, say mean things to me. Because, like, why? Like, what purpose is it serving, you know, other than, you know, making yourself feel better? But it's all a joke to me, like, when people say things like that.
Do people send things under, like, their real name? Or do they have, like, burner accounts that they come at you with?
Some people do it from, like, their, from burner email accounts that you can't trace. Or some people, like, tweet at me from their, like, real accounts, which I think is funny. I've never had anybody email me off their work account, because that'd be pretty classy, but haven't had that happen yet.
Yeah, well, when they do, please send it over to us at the Montana Mint Sports, because we will gladly out them in front of the entire state. well, thanks, Amy. We appreciate you being on, and hope to have you back again sometime in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
All right, we're back here. Thank you, Amy Just from the Missoulian, for taking the time to get on the podcast with us. We enjoy hearing from our Montana beat writers very much. So now we're bringing in our senior Missoula correspondent, Jasper Moonshot. What's going on, Jasper?
What up, man?
All right, well, we had you on 2 weeks ago, and then we bumped you in favor of a minutia of other things last week, so we decided it would be in our best interest to get you back on here so that you didn't think that we didn't appreciate your time. So welcome back. We're glad to have you. So we're going to get the first thing on everybody's mind who watched that Grizz game. We don't want to beat this to death, but the Reese Phillips injury is something that everybody saw. It made everybody sick. It didn't matter if you were a Cat fan, a Grizz fan, a Savannah State fan. You hate seeing injuries like that, especially to a senior. So when you saw that injury, what was the first thing that kind of went through your mind?
The first thing, I think, was, like, my brain couldn't really process what the hell I was seeing. You know, he was, like, he got tackled, and he was laying on his belly. And my mind was like, wow, something looks weird. Like, that doesn't look right. Your brain just doesn't recognize the pattern of seeing one of the feet facing towards the sky when you're on your belly. And then it dawns on you that he's just fucked his ankle up. And then you start to feel this, like, visceral pain. And you're just like, oh, no, I should have ran cross country in high school, because what that would have happened to me. That's exactly what was running through my head.
Yeah, I remember I wasn't able to watch the Grizz game, but obviously was sent the picture, not in any sort of jest or, you know, begging on the Grizzlies, but in did you just see this? I saw that. I felt the same thing. I felt horrible. I didn't want to look at it. So we obviously give our best to Reese Phillips from Cat fans, from Grizz fans. You hate to see it on a senior like that, you know, just getting comfortable in that offense in a game that literally doesn't matter at all.
And I just can't imagine working that hard for so long and putting in all the work in the summer and
agreed.
Really his whole life and then have it end like that. It's just really painful to see. So
agreed.
Thoughts and prayers go out to that kid.
Definitely. We're definitely thinking about the whole. He's not from Montana, but. You know, everybody in Montana is definitely thinking about him. He's like a Montana boy. So getting to the game, the actual game that went on, and I know that nobody really even cared about the game after that, you know, basically happened. What were your takeaways from the game? What did you think about, was it Gresh Jensen? Is that how you say his name?
Yep.
Gresh Jensen. What did you think about him when you saw him come in?
He looked good, don't you think?
His stats showed that he was good, but he was also going against Savannah State, who's a glorified D2 school.
That's fair. he had a great, you know, quarterback rating, no picks. Or no, one pick. Three touchdowns, one pick. But he looked really good, I thought. He looked really comfortable. And
he looked the part, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. He kind of has that quarterback feel. We've had some quarterbacks in the past, in my memory, who don't really look like a quarterback, and you're a little nervous when they're taking snaps, but I feel like this kid's got something.
I like it. What did you think Brady Gustafson looked like?
He reminded me of the blue Monstar from Space Jam, actually.
I wish we could bring that up for everybody to see what you're talking about, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
A picture of the blue Monstar and take Brady.
But, so we had, the Grizz had the blue Monstar quarterback last year. Now they have a real quarterback looking quarterback this year.
And do you remember, back in the day when Kyle Sampson was able to take some snaps?
Yeah, I do.
That made me nervous too. I thought he was going to die getting hit.
That's how I felt when Mark Destin played quarterback in the Cat Grizz game. Up in Missoula, I was like, this is not going to end well for the Cats or for this kid. So I get what you're saying. I definitely get what you're saying. He looks like a quarterback. You're not scared that he's going to get killed if he gets hit by a linebacker, right?
Yeah, maybe I was just a little nervous for everyone on the field that day, but I was like really happy to see him look so fluid.
That's cool. Yeah, and I think a lot of Grizz fans took that away too, is that, you know, they hated obviously seeing Reese go down, but you know, Gresh came in and looked the part, and they're hoping that he keeps that together. So with that, besides the quarterback situation, what were some of the positive takeaways you had from that Savannah State game?
The second half defense was good to watch. It was good to see. Let me read to you the Savannah State possessions in the second half.
The D2 punt, school,
punt,
right?
Punt, 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 punt. That was it.
That's not. Is that bad?
It's not good.
It's not good.
More importantly, it's what you want to see from the Grizz. You know, they gave up some yardage in their first game of the season, and especially, you know, through the air, Valparaiso put up some numbers on them and kind of made me nervous. You know, like the man-to-man game that I think we were trying to work on wasn't really working. But we came out in the second half and really didn't give Savannah State anything to work with. So
that's true. When you're playing a team like that you're supposed to beat, that's a cupcake. You obviously do want to see that, where every possession in the second half is a punt.
Right.
So that makes sense. I mean, I was kind of giving them crap, but I mean, it is all punts. And what else? I mean, what else can you do when you're playing them?
Another cool thing was all of the different receivers that got into the action.
How many receivers did he get into the action?
Was it? Maybe?
It was double digits.
Double digits, and we had a couple freshman Montana boys catch their first pass of their careers. Jed Nagler from Whitefish, and then Danny Burton from Helena Capital.
Okay.
They got into the game, saw some action, and that's always great to see Montana boys do it.
Yeah, getting their first time at WaGriz. So those are the positives, a positive takeaway, a couple of positive takeaways that you gave us. Concerns leaving that game? Are you concerned at all? Are you concerned at all that you haven't seen the real Grizzlies play yet, considering their level of competition?
Yes. Yes. I think this is not an opinion unique to me, but a lot of people have said we probably won't know exactly how good we are until week four, until this week when we play Eastern Washington. Sorry for using the we there. I know I'm not a part of this team, but when the Grizz play Eastern Washington, they've given us hits in the past. They're a different team this year, obviously, than they have been. But they're still a dangerous opponent. So,
and they kind of—it seems like they kind of hit their stride last week over in Fordham too. So, I think that would—if I was a Grizz fan, that would be maybe one of the bigger concerns—is that Gage Gabrud is kind of hitting his stride.
Exactly. Right, and I do think maybe our secondary might be a weak spot, and that could just be an artifact of maybe the issues we've had getting a pass rush with our front four. I guess we'll figure a lot out on Saturday, but I think we have the potential to give up a lot of points, and hopefully with Stitt's offense and his scheme, we can put him right back up on the board
and match that. So what's your pick this weekend between the Grizz hosting Eastern Washington under the lights? What's your pick?
Well, thankfully all the hard games the Grizz play are at home. So under the lights against a tough opponent, Grizz are going to win this, but I think it's going to be narrow. I think we're going to go 29-26.
Okay, that's going to be a good game. I'd watch that.
And I, what do you think?
I like everybody has said, we don't know what the Grizz are. Eastern Washington, we thought we knew what they were when they lost their first two games. One to an FBS team, one to North Dakota State, but then they went out to Fordham and put the beat down on the Rams. So I want to say that Eastern Washington is going to come in and win this game based on their quarterback play. I think Gage Gabrud hit a stride last week. He rushed for two, threw for three. I think using that momentum, I think Eastern Washington has a good chance to take down the Grizz at home. That's my take, man.
You're such a hater.
I am. I should be your hater of the week every week. There's, but this is, yeah, exactly. Because I mean, I don't know. I don't want to pick the Grizz one thing, but I really do think Eastern Washington's a better team than they showed the first 2 weeks, I hope, I guess. So I'm going to take Eastern Washington. Although I would probably, it's a 10-point, Vegas has the Grizz as a 10-point dog. I would probably take the Grizz and the points, though. I don't think that Eastern Washington is going to blow them out. How's that?
Well, I suppose as long as you cover, you'll be happy.
Exactly. I'll take a Grizz cover with a loss straight up, make some money. Have the Grizz be down 0-1 in conference. I'm down with that.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
This is a new segment I'm going to call Who's Winning the Week here?
And okay.
Based off of what we've seen so far from each team, the Bobcats and the Grizz, who's the better team as of today?
Wow. God, I wish I knew what the Grizz were going to be like. I mean, I really wish they had played a decent FCS team to give us a shot, or even a not number 7 FBS team. I'm going to have to say the Grizz, they have 2 wins on the season. That's really all I'm going to base it on. The Cats need to get that first win for me to consider them better than the Grizz, I think, right now. I think that the Cats are surprising some people, and I think that if they played right now, it'd be a really good game. I honestly do. If the Cat Grizz was this weekend, I think it'd be a toss-up, but right now I'd have to say the Grizz just based on they've won.
What do you think about the quarterback differential? Obviously, we know nothing about Jensen really yet, but would you take Murray or Jensen right now, fantasy draft style?
Right now, based on all of last year and the first couple weeks of this year, I'd take Murray.
Okay.
I think, who do you take?
gosh.
He's electric.
Murray's thrown six touchdown passes last year.
Didn't get to play a full season against zero cupcakes.
Well, now that Reese Phillips is out, I think McKenna Simmons is our third string quarterback again.
He is.
He threw six touchdown passes in a game last year. And he's our third string.
Did McKenna Simmons, did he ever lead, after 3 weeks, did he ever lead the Big Sky in average rush yards per game, though, as a quarterback?
No.
Exactly.
No, he did not. I think the upside of Jensen is so big that I really believe that's where maybe Missoula's advantage will lie come November.
I agree that he, like you said, he looks the part. He's going to be a good quarterback. I don't think anybody can deny that. But I think Murray's still an up and coming quarterback, even with a little bit of his coming out party last week as a thrower, as a passer.
Is he even 20 yet?
He's 18. He started when he was starting last year. He was 17. I think he turned 18 right before the Cat Grizz game. So he's 18 right now. He's probably younger than Gresh.
Well, this is trouble because if he treats 18 anything like you did, he's going to be playing a lot of Keno, a lot of domestic beers.
It's true. So, Little Nevada took a lot of my money when I was 18. Little Nevada, right there.
To see temptation.
You're right. Luckily, hopefully he has a better head on his shoulders and knows that he's a lot better athlete and wouldn't want to squander that away. I knew by 18 that I was doing nothing again except intramurals. So, I had an excuse. All right.
Before I leave, Eric Williams update. Eric Williams, the Grizz punter. He had three punts.
Your boy.
On Saturday. He's my boy. He had one that went over 50 yards and another one inside the 20.
Have you got to meet him yet in Missoula?
What's that?
Have you had the chance to meet him yet in Missoula?
Oh, man. I'm too shy. I don't know. Like, I think I'd probably just blush and make a bumbling fool of myself if I ever had the courage to walk up and talk to him.
Well, I think that's what everybody's going to be waiting for. We can't wait to hear when you do get the courage to go up and talk to him. I think that'll be a fun segment. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I'll keep you posted if I ever gain the courage.
All right. Well, we know that you can do it. We have confidence in you, so you have the full backing of everybody on the Montana Mint team.
Thanks, bud.
All right, man. Well, we really appreciate it, Jasper. I know we're going to be having fun watching these two games this week. We appreciate you coming on again, and we'll get you back on here next week. How about that?
Sounds good, man.
All right, man. Have a great night.
You too.
The Montana Mint Podcast is brought to you by the Montana Mint Store. Montana Mint fans, are you looking to upgrade your wardrobe? Well, check out the Montana Mint Store to find a selection of unique gear to proudly represent the state that you love. All products from the Montana Mint are designed and printed right here in Montana. Best of all, the profits we make from the store, we reinvest back into the company so we can do cool things like this podcast. As a special offer to our podcast listeners, enter the promo code MINTSPORTS, all one word, and receive 10% off all orders over $30. That's MINTSPORTS, all one word, for 10% off. Check out the store by visiting store.montana-mint.com or just Google the Montana Mint Store today.
All right, we're back. We'd like to again thank Amy Just and our boy Jasper Moonshot for giving us some outlook on the Grizz. And finally, I get to welcome Bear Tycoon onto the pod. What's going on?
Yeah, good to be here.
We talked a lot about the Grizzlies, you know, in this first part because the Cats obviously didn't have a game last week. So now you and I get to get right into Montana State heading to North Dakota. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is going to be a great game for the Cats. Last week in our email, we kind of hyped up the Cats and we made a big deal that they were going to be kind of good. And just to put in context the state of a lot of Cat fans, we got messages from Bobcat fans that thought we were being sarcastic and were all upset.
That's not good. Bobcat Nation just thinks that we're just always bagging on the Cats. I'm a Cats fan. I'm not bagging on them.
Yeah, I think they're going to be good. They played real good against South Dakota State. I'm up on the Cats.
Well, me too. And so getting into the North Dakota game, looking back at last year, I just wanted to look in 2016. It's obviously a way different team on both sides. But looking back, the Cats lost 17-15 in Bozeman last year. But there were some major differences in this, obviously, in this Cats team this year. Tyler Brugman was the starting quarterback last year when these two teams played. Cool. He threw for 259 yards passing and three picks, no touchdowns. It wasn't good. Chris Murray was 0-for-1, and he also had two carries for minus 2 yards. So Murray had absolutely no impact on that game. He's obviously the starting quarterback for this one. He's an electric player. He has, I don't know how many games under his belt now. So this game is going to be totally different than the one that played out last year in Bozeman. And the Cats almost won that game, 17-15.
Yeah, it's one of the games we highlighted at the beginning of the year as maybe the Cats weren't as bad as we thought they were, because they did play a lot of close games against good teams. And you're right about Chris Murray. But Nate, I got a little good news, bad news for you when it comes to Chris Murray. So, can you guess who the top rusher per game in the Big Sky Conference is?
Well, since we're talking about Chris Murray, I'm going to assume it's Chris Murray.
Smart man. It's Chris Murray.
Yeah.
So that's the good news. Bad news, he's not even in the top 10 for passing yards per game. There's only 13 teams.
That is a very misleading stat. That's a misleading stat considering they played Wazoo. And he really couldn't pass that game. So let's throw that one out. Throw it out.
Okay.
Get the Wazoo game out of there.
Yeah, a lot of player stats go up.
Where would that put him?
Well, let's look. A lot of players' rankings do go up, though, when you throw out their worst games.
I mean, he'd have... True, that's also very true. But, I mean, he has 339 yards passing on the season, Murray does right now. Take out his, whatever that was, 30-yard effort against Wazoo. He's at 330 a game, number one in the conference for passing.
Yeah. Yeah.
330 a game if you take out that game.
If you take out his bad games, he's pretty good. You're right.
It's fun with stats.
But it is. I'm pumped to see how he does against North Dakota. This is obviously the test we've been waiting for all year for the Cats. UND is. They were the preseason favorite to win the Big Sky, but they've shown to be kind of weak. They got smoked last week against South Dakota, 45-7. So we'll see what the Cats are made of.
And looking at the stats through September 18th, so through last week's games, North Dakota is 11th right now in rushing defense. They're giving up 212 a game. And let's remind everybody who North Dakota has played so far. They lost to Utah, first game of the season. Pretty good team. They went out and shut out Missouri State 34-0, and then got rolled in Vermilion, South Dakota by the Yotes of South Dakota, 45-7. The Yotes were number 23 at the time. UND was number 10 at the time. They've now flip-flopped. South Dakota went up to number 13. UND right now is at number 17. But with those three games, they are third worst in the conference in rush defense, which I think bodes well for the Cats if Murray can get out there and open up, you know, the running lanes. It's sad that I'm talking about our quarterback being the one to get out there and opening up the passing game. And the pass defense for North Dakota, they're right in the middle. They're at number 6. So they're giving up about 216 a game through the air. So their defense is not stout by any means. They're, you know, bottom of the barrel in rush defense, middle of the pack in pass defense. So I think that bodes well for the Cats, especially coming off the second half they had against against South Dakota State. So I think those stats line up to hopefully a big game for Murray.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing to look out for. North Dakota obviously has a strong running game. I can't say Brady Olivier and John Santiago is their two-headed monster in the backfield. I heard Jeff Choate talk about these two running backs. They have two really different running styles. Santiago's a guy who can jump around and make you miss, and Olivier, if that's how you say his name, is a big back. So you can stack the line and stack the middle of the field to stop him, but then if you sub in Santiago, he can make one move and be gone. The Cats are going to have to really look out for this going forward into the game. Also, one thing I want to bring up, our hater of the week, we need to give it out while hater we're talking about this game. The dummies from North Dakota. Last week we had the audacity.
The dummies from North Dakota.
The audacity to grade a 1-1 North Dakota team with a B. We gave them a B, and all
which
of
was
a
probably
sudden,
being pretty nice.
Yeah, all of a sudden, on the Montana Mint website, we were getting all this traffic from a North Dakota message board. So I went and looked. They were talking trash on us. One guy, Nodak651, said about our podcast, "I listened to it for 1 minute. UND got a B and UNC got an A. That tells me enough to know this is not worth listening to." Nodak,
I wonder if he knows that I was absolutely 100% joking about UNC getting an A. I feel like sometimes our satire or joking around is lost on people on message boards, because everything that's ever said on a message board apparently is truth. We're not like that. We like to joke around.
Yeah, yeah. They got an A because they didn't have to play Florida. And also, it was just really sweet. The fact that they lost, they got their teeth kicked in against South Dakota 45-7. And Nate, you always give me crap about this. Coming into this week, I'm a Grizz fan, but I will be rooting for the Bobcats against North Dakota. Screw these guys.
That message board got you fired up.
Yeah, they're make believers in the Big Sky Conference. And
I'm not even going to be a part of the Big Sky Conference later on. I mean, when do they leave? Like 2 years or something like that?
Not soon enough.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, when I looked back at that game last week that they played against South Dakota, Santiago, you know, he averaged 7.1 yards per carry, but he only got 12 carries, and they were playing, you know, they were playing catch up the whole time. And their quarterback, Keaton Strudgerud, I don't know how to say it. He was 11 for 22, only had 133 yards, and threw a touchdown in garbage time. So obviously they had to get away from that run, go to the pass. Keaton wasn't getting it done. If the Cats can bottle up Santiago and Olivier, and Oliviera, fuck, I don't know. He only had 4 carries for 9 yards. So they bottled him up. Santiago, yeah, he went off on his 12 carries. But, you know, if the Cats, you know, their defense looked good in the second half last week. Their defense didn't look horrible against Wazoo. You know, I still have this great optimism going into this game, as I think a lot of Cats fans do, just looking at the game that North Dakota played against South Dakota last year and then kind of seeing how that defense is lining up against the Cats.
Yeah. One other thing I want to mention from Choate's press conference is they had a bye week last week, which was early in the season, but he said he was thankful that it snowed in Bozeman during the bye week because it gave some of the new guys on the team a sense of what the cold's going to be like going forward. So this team, if you have to prepare in week 3 during a bye week, it's good that for there to be snow on the ground to get your guys ready.
Yeah, they get that, you know, late in the season weather that hopefully helps some of these guys who didn't grow up in Montana get acclimated to that weather. So I guess if there is a silver lining from a bye week, that would be it, I guess.
Yeah.
A week 3 bye week, there's many silver linings to bye weeks, but a week 3 bye week, there's not a ton of them.
Yep.
So that's, I guess that's a great silver lining there. All right, so you're obviously pulling for the Cats. We're going to let our boy Montana Parlay get into the gambling a little bit later on, but what's your pick in this game? What do you see happening?
I think that the Cats are going to play with them. I think they are fired up, and I don't know if being well-rested this early in the season is that big of an advantage. But North Dakota has not shown really anything to be impressed about. I mean, they beat up Missouri State pretty good. But last week, I think that's the team who they are. So I think the Cats are going to play this close. I'm actually feeling like the Cats are going to win this game. I think Murray is a special weapon that a team like North Dakota may not be good enough to take down.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. I mean, I look at everything with blue and gold glasses, but I also like sometimes to be a realist. I didn't think the Cats were going to do what they did against South Dakota State, but I am going to pick the Cats to win this game in North Dakota. I think everybody in Bobcat Nation, including the players, they're jacked up and they're ready to get out there. They know that they left a game out on the field against a win out on the field against South Dakota State. I don't think they're going to let that happen against North Dakota. I think this is going to be the biggest win in Choate's tenure. I say that only because the Cat Grizz game, while it was awesome, it had a ton of momentum for the year, great for recruiting, it was beating the Grizz. That was at the end of a two-win conference season. Yep. I think this one's going to be huge because it's going to set the tone. The first conference win, 1-0 in conference, I'm taking the Cats.
I love it, man. Screw North Dakota.
That's right. The Fighting Hawks. They're no longer the Fighting Sioux, but the Fighting Hawks. They're going to go down, and we're going to have fun watching it. All right. Well, that takes us in. We've already talked quite a bit about the Grizz on the podcast so far with the interview and with Jasper Moonshot coming on. But UM bringing Eastern Washington to Washington Grizzly Stadium. It's going to be a game that ends up being under the lights. I have no idea at all what's going to happen in this game. Like, I don't think either team has showed us their true colors, and I'm really going to be watching this one close, trying to see what these two teams are.
Yeah, same here. It's Eastern Washington is ranked number 11 in the country. If the rankings went out far enough, the Grizz would be ranked number 32 in the country. So they're both two pretty good programs. Eastern Washington is 1-2 with both losses coming against tough teams, Texas Tech and North Dakota State. A big win last week against Fordham, who's not great, but Eastern Washington had to fly across the country, which is never easy.
Do you know where Fordham is? What city that's in?
New York City.
Which borough?
The Bronx.
It is. I had to look that up.
Yeah, the Fordham Rams.
I actually looked at their stadium. It looks smaller than Dallas or Wendy's Stadium in Billings. There's only stands on one side. I don't get how you could ever get up to play a game there. It looked desolate.
Eastern Washington on their Twitter all week was hyping up like the Eagles are coming to New York City. Watch out, New York. No one in New York City knew that the Eagles were in town.
Nobody in New York City knows that there's probably a state of Washington. They probably thought it was the Eastern Washington, D.C. Eagles.
Yep, no doubt. But it was a good win. And look, the Grizz obviously have an open question at quarterback, like we talked about with Amy. And that's what, if the Grizz are going to be competitive, it's going to be because Gresh Jensen comes in and competes at a level similar to Reese Phillips. If Phillips was playing in this game, I'd have a ton of confidence if I were the Grizz, especially as 10-point underdogs. They're 10-point underdogs at home. I can't remember the last time this has happened to the Grizz. Maybe that North Dakota State game?
That 10 points is I have no idea how Grizz fans, Grizz bettors are going to get 10 points in this game, because I would take that all day. I don't see Eastern coming into Washington Grizzly at night and absolutely blowing them out or even winning by two touchdowns. I think it's going to be a close game. So that 10-point underdog was a really big surprise to me.
Yeah, and the teams, Eastern got the Grizz last year. The Grizz took them down pretty easily the year before. So these are good teams that trade back and forth. And we'll see what happens. I mean, this is a lot different Grizz team from last year. Last year, our boy Grady Gustafson passed for almost 400 yards. He's no longer there, and now we have a big question mark at quarterback.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that I would be nervous about if I was a Grizz fan, and I'm going to pat myself on the back for basically calling this when we were giving the grades last week when we were going around the Big Sky, I was like, what the hell is their coach doing trying to even out the runs versus the passes when you have Gage Gabrud back there able to throw for 5,000 some yards last year? Well, finally, they opened it up and let him throw last week. He threw for 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. They had 42 passes compared to 30 runs. It was like they finally got back to that old Iwu. And I'm hoping, as a Cat fan, and I don't share the same sentiment that I want the Grizz to win when they're not playing the Cats, hopefully that translates over to Washington Grizzly this weekend and Gage Gabrud could have another big game for the Eagles. But I think that if I'm a Grizz fan, I'm nervous about how well he performed out in the Bronx last week. They may have given that coach some new ideas on how good Gage is, and probably gave Gage some confidence.
Yeah, maybe Coach Aaron Best was saving his playbook against two teams that he was probably going to lose to anyways, and that don't count for your conference record. Last week he kind of let it fly so he could get ready. But interesting for him, his first Big Sky Conference game as coach of the Eagles will be against the Grizz in Washington Grizzly Stadium. That is a pretty good way to start your career in the Big Sky Conference.
Definitely. That's going to be, and like I said, this is a game that I literally have no idea how it's going to play out. I'm just excited. I'm almost as excited to see this game to see what the two top teams in the Big Sky perennially are going to look like this year. I think this week shapes up a lot of the stuff that we're going to see in the conference and kind of give us an idea of, you know, who the real ones are and who the pretenders are.
Yep, and big ups to the Big Sky Conference for making sure the Grizz and the Cats weren't playing at the same time.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to be able to check out both of these games, and I think they're going to both be very entertaining games, which, I mean, it's going to be a great Saturday for Cat and Grizz football.
Love it.
All right, well, we are going to go to our boy Montana Parlay right now. He's back with some gambling tips for you. He went 0-1 last week. He, for some reason, didn't think that the Grizz would cover at home against basically a Division II team. Don't know what he was thinking, but we're going to give him another shot. He's 5-1 on the season. So we're going to kick it on over to our boy Montana Parlay. He's going to make you some money.
Welcome to our first Big Sky Conference edition of the Weekly Gambling Update. I'm Montana Parlay. I dropped a 4-1 on the season as I failed to jump on the value in the suspiciously low line the Grizz had versus Savannah State last week. So let's get right into this week's lines and right the ship. Starting with the Cats. Montana State hits the road to face preseason Big Sky favorite North Dakota. The Cats are coming off a bye and are 6.5-point underdogs. I think the bye hurts them this early in the season. Murray needs reps, not rest at this point, and even though I think the Cats have a shot at winning this game outright, I'm going to go with the value and take the home favorite, laying less than a touchdown. North Dakota 34, Montana State 26. The Grizz face Eastern Washington and are 10-point home underdogs. Some of the most exciting games in the Big Sky of the last 10 years have been played between these two teams. Montana paid a price in last week's game when they lost their starting quarterback in a gruesome injury. I don't recommend that you watch that video. Can a backup pull off the upset? I'm not sure, but I do know that beating the Grizz by more than 10 points at home is a tough task no matter who is behind center. Eastern Washington 45, Montana 41 in a shootout. Grizz cover the spread. That will do it for this week's edition of the Weekly Gambling Update. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Montana Parlay. Wage wisely, football fans.
All right, we're back. We would like to thank Montana Parlay again for his picks of the week between the Cats and the Grizz, taking on North Dakota and Eastern Washington, respectively. All right, so last week we had a little bit of fun going around the Big Sky and giving some grades. Usually we wouldn't go back and do it again the next week. It shows a lack of creativity and maybe that we're stuck on something, but it was such a ridiculously weird weekend in the Big Sky last week with some teams getting wins, some other teams losing, that we were like, we have to revisit this now that we have another game under our belt and go through our grades again. So I don't think it's a lack of creativity, do you?
No, I think it's we have a great idea and we just have to keep going back to that same idea.
Over and over again.
Over and over and over again.
But it's not like we couldn't think of something else.
No, we've thought of plenty other better ideas. But
they were the greatest ideas ever. The greatest ideas.
We're going to wait for our audience to get a little bigger before we roll out the really good stuff.
You're going to be bored with how great our ideas are.
So let's get through these first four teams pretty quick. North Dakota, we already talked about. We both gave them B's, Nate. They've since lost to South Dakota. They've lost to Utah this year, and they had a win against Missouri State. Are you going to give them a B again?
Nah, I'm going to go C. That loss was pretty bad. They shouldn't have even scored against South Dakota as a garbage time touchdown. C.
Yep, I'll give them a C minus because they're so mean on the message boards.
How do you like that, Hawk Nation?
Eastern Washington, their resume, loss at Texas, loss at NDSU, and then a big win at Fordham, 56-21. Last week you gave them a D. I gave them a C plus. I think C plus is about... I'll bump him up to a B.
I'm going to bump him up to C plus. The coach finally listened to me, got Gabrud a little more into that offense. C plus. I want to see what they do against the Grizz.
Okay, Northern Arizona, Cal Poly, we're both on byes this week, so we'll skip over them. Weber State,
So they've won at Montana Western big. They lost at Cal in a close game. And then last week, they won against Sacramento State, 31-24. Just want to note that Weber State is now number 10 in the country in points per game at 42.3. I gave them an A-. I have no reason to downgrade them. Nate, you gave them a B. Are you going to keep it there?
I'm keeping it there. They beat Sacramento State. Anybody in the country can put up points against Sacramento State. Sacramento State's the least of the two schools right now in the Sacramento area, so I'm keeping them the same. It didn't show me anything. They play Davis this weekend, so that'll be a really interesting game.
Yep, Southern Utah, 2-1 on the year. Loss at Oregon, win at Stephen F. Austin. Then last week they beat Northern Iowa, who was supposed to be pretty good, but I feel like we're talking about them losing a lot. They beat them 31-24. Last week we both gave them Bs. What are you going to give them this week?
I'm going to give them a B+, and I'm going to give them a plug. They should be in the top 25 right now. That one really bad loss to Oregon doesn't really do anything for me in terms of like make me feel like they're a worse team. But that was a big win against Northern Iowa. The Big Sky Missouri Valley Football Series challenge, whatever series we're having right now, we needed Southern Utah as a conference to win this game. They yeah. knocked them out, so I'm upgrading them because I think they're an impressive team right now, and they should be in the top 25.
Agreed. I'll give them a B+. Northern Colorado improves to 1-1 on the year. They have a win over the College of Idaho. They had a game canceled against Florida, and then last week they lost at Colorado. They had a respectable score, 41-21. Last week you gave them an A, Nate, and I gave
people
them
thought I was serious.
I gave them a C-, which was probably a little harsh. With this loss, they probably deserve to be in the. I'll give them a B-, because why not?
I mean, they kept it close against Colorado. Colorado was a good team last year. I really haven't kept up with them this year, but 41-21. I mean, that's a pretty respectable score. I'll give them I'm going to downgrade them from my joking A to probably what I really think they are right now is a C, because I have no idea what they're going to be like when they play an FCS school.
Yeah, well, we'll find out soon. UC Davis, a surprising 2-1 on the year. Loss at San Diego State, a big win versus San Diego. And then this week, they beat a team that both of us gave an A to, Portland State. It's a Big Sky competitor, but this doesn't count as a Big Sky win. UC Davis is 2-1 on the year. They have the number 7 passing offense in the country. Last week, you gave them a B. I give them an A-. If they beat a team that's an A, how do I not give them an A? I'm upgrading them. UC Davis, A.
I'm pretty impressed with Davis. They are not a strong football team historically. Dan Hawkins coming in this year, you might remember him when he coached Colorado. Cats went down there. I think it was his final year as the Buffaloes head coach. Went down there and actually beat Colorado. So I remember Dan Hawkins well. But coming into UC Davis, really impressive beginning to the year for Davis and Dan Hawkins. I'm pretty impressed. I'm going to give him an A right now. I'm looking to see if they can keep this going, but I think it's going to be a really interesting game this weekend against Weber.
Yeah, let's see what you can do.
It's Weber, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's right. Let's see what you can do, UC Davis.
We're looking at you.
Next, we got Sac State, who lost at Weber State. They have their only win on the year is against Incarnate World. They have a loss at Idaho.
Incarnate Word. Incarnate World would be a super weird university.
Yeah, like Incarnate name. Word is super normal. we will give them – I gave them a B- last week, and you gave them a B+. We were kind of nice to Sacramento State. Are you going to keep it at a B+?
No. I don't know why I'm going to downgrade them to a C. I mean, they should have lost to Weber. Weber's not a bad school, but I don't even know why I gave them a B last week. I'm just going to give them a C.
I have no idea.
Like, I'm looking back at that wondering, what the hell are we thinking? Like, for a loss to Idaho and a win against some school from San Antonio.
Yeah, we were a little punch drunk last week, I think.
Yeah, what was that about?
God, all right.
C?
Idaho State, C, we agree. Idaho State, 2-1 on the year.
All right, Idaho State, this one's fun.
Wins against Western Oregon, a loss at Utah State, which fine. It's a FBS school. Then last week, win at FBS Nevada, 30-28. what the hell is going on in Idaho? I gave them a C-minus last week with an FBS win and a 2-1 record, which is good enough for tops in the Big Sky. I'm upgrading them to an A. Nate, you gave them a C-minus. What do you think?
Reno, UNR is not a power by any means. They've lost to, like, Northwestern, Toledo, and now Idaho State. But I don't care. When you beat an FBS squad, I'm pretty impressed. Before I get to my grade, I think that we tell everybody, there's a Montana connection up at Idaho State. Rob Fennessy, first year coach up at Idaho State. He's got two wins under his belt already. He was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach from 2003 to 2009 with the Grizz. He actually won the Mike Campbell Award, which is given to the top FCS assistant coach in 2006 while he was working with Bobby Hauk. So a lot of Montana connection there. And he actually left the program this year to go get a job with University of Northern Iowa. Kramer retired / got fired. He came back, took the job, the head coach job, went to Montana and stole Matt Troxell, who had left Idaho State to become a coach with the Grizz, got him back up there. So now Matt Troxell is the offensive coordinator for Fennessy. So a lot of Montana Grizzly connection up there in Idaho State. He's put together a pretty impressive first three games of the season in my book. I think it's fun to watch. I'm gonna give him a B. UNR is not an amazing team, but you know I'm actually looking forward to seeing if Idaho State is something this year.
Yeah, you're right. They're doing something. We'll see what that something is. Then the last one we got, like a bunch of dopes. We picked Portland State. We both gave them an A last week because they had close-ish losses to BYU and then a close game to Oregon State. Then they go and lose to a conference opponent, non-conference game against UC Davis by 2 touchdowns. What is going on? I don't know what to think. I think they just probably lost momentum after 2 big FBS games. They thought they could just roll and play UC Davis. That's an ugly loss on the resume. I'll give them a B.
With a loss to Davis, I got to drop them to a C. I was going off of 2 losses, I guess, against FBS schools, like you said, a respectable loss against BYU, and then a game they should have won against the Beavers in Oregon State. Now I want to see what they do against FCS. I mean, I saw what they did against FCS against Davis, but I'm this is another one I'm so confused. That's why we keep talking about last week in the Big Sky was such a weird week and kind of shattered what we thought the conference was going to look like. I think it's pretty wide open, and that's I'm going to give Portland State a C and, you know, check out what they do this week.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Oh, I'm sorry. By the way, they have a bye this week, so I'm an idiot. If I wait to give them a grade next week, it's probably not going to change.
Yeah.
But well, they're not. They host one. Here's a fun Portland State fact for you, though. Bye this week, but then they host the Grizz the following week at some high school stadium up in Portland because I believe the Portland Thorns, which is the women's soccer team up there, professional soccer team, has their stadium booked. So Portland State will be hosting the Grizz at a high school stadium in Portland in 2 weeks. That's my Portland State tidbit for you since they're on a bye next week.
That's pretty fun. That it'll be just like playing at Fordham.
It'll be just like playing in the Bronx. Yep. Exactly. So that'll be fun, I guess. We'll have to revisit that one in a couple weeks because we'll be talking about that one. That's weird.
Yeah. Well, that's all we got for the grades.
That was funny. We got through it a lot quicker this time. We hope that the North Dakotans who listened to this are pissed off again because we had fun doing it to you. And I think we're going to have fun beating you this week. So that's going to be kind of a double whammy there. And then, like we said, we're looking forward to seeing these conference games start out this week and really maybe start getting a sense of what the Big Sky is going to shape up to look like this year.
Yeah, we'll know a lot more come next Sunday.
We will. So that's around the Big Sky. That's around the Big Sky. That was fun. All right, we're gonna get into everybody's favorite. It's the Brock Osweiler watch.
Yeah, Nate.
Always exciting. Always exciting. Makes a lot of money.
Nate, it's our weekly check-in in Flathead Zone. Brock Osweiler, NFL quarterback. How did Brock do this week?
0 snaps.
Brock. Come on.
That's probably his starting quarterback position if he doesn't leave to go to Houston.
Oh, absolutely.
That's probably still his position. I mean,
yeah, heck yeah. I mean, the Broncos,
you know, Elway built that team around with the anticipation that Brock would take it over. And I mean, good on him for going to make himself some money. You can't blame him. And
got to get that money when you can.
Get that money. I think he's got like $20 million in the bank now. So great decision. However, if his goal was to be an NFL starter, didn't work out so great.
No, but yeah, he has made a lot of money, and he could do whatever he wants.
We're not really making fun of him.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm going to the Bronco game this week up in Buffalo, and I'm wearing my Brock Osweiler jersey. I hope he spots me in the crowd.
That was a great – when he re-signed with the Broncos, you had to be like, oh, hell yeah, my Osweiler jersey just tripled in value again.
Yep, I took it out of the closet.
That is a roller coaster jersey.
Yeah. Yep, I hope he's wearing the same number. I don't even know.
I have no idea. Well, he's not getting the same amount of snaps when you first bought that, that's for sure. But we'll see what happens. Broncos look pretty good against the Cowboys. I don't think they'll be changing up their signal caller anytime soon.
Yeah, hey, sorry. Can we do shout-outs of the week? Let's do it.
All right, what's your shout-out?
My shout-out. So last year, the Grizz, one of their two biggest struggles was their kicking game. It was a constant point of frustration. But this year, Brandon Purdy has gone – he's 15 for 15 on extra points this season, which that would have been great last year.
It's pretty good.
And he's 1 for 1 in field goals, so he hasn't missed a field goal. But just this
small sample size.
Yeah, but let's give him a shout out. He had.
I like it.
He was 8 for 8 last week against Savannah State. It doesn't matter if you're the kicker, who your competition is, if it's a crummy school or a good school, you're doing the same thing. He put it between the goalposts 8 times out of 8. So. Brandon Purdy, you got my shout out of the week. Nate, who
I like
who
it,
got?
And I'm before I get to mine, I have to say I'm jealous about that. 15 of 15 extra points and one of them field goals. I'm hoping that the Cats come out. I thought I saw somewhere that Gabe Pevenger is going to be the starting kicker this week. They made the change.
Yeah,
I
that's
can't.
Right.
I probably should have mentioned that when we were talking about the Cats and the Hawks, but I kind of forgot until you started bringing up. I just don't think about the kicking game when I should because that was one reason we lost the game last week. But I digress. My shout out of the week, since the Cats had a bye week, it went to the snow that came to Montana.
Oh,
you mentioned it earlier. Yeah, it's a little twist. I had nowhere else to go. But, you know, the snow helped the players acclimate to the cold weather that they may see in the Big Sky later on in the season. And also it helped put out or at least control some of the fires that we had burning around the state. So I can't complain about that. An inanimate object is my shout out of the week, as lame as that is. But hopefully I'm going to have like 5 shout outs of the week next week after this North Dakota game.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's
and I'm going to shout every single one of them out. All right. Well, hey, that's shit. What is this, episode 4? We just knocked out?
Yeah.
We hope everybody's having fun. We sure are having a blast doing it. We think we're getting better. I don't know. Maybe that's just – I mean, our parents say we're getting better.
Yeah.
So that means something, right?
Well, your parents are saying we're getting better.
They didn't even actually say that, to be honest with you.
But yeah, no, we've done 4. It's things are going. It's going great in terms of listeners. We're pumped that so many of you are subscribing and downloading, and we hope you tell your friends this is a bit of a pirate ship and that we're not affiliated with any big news organization. So we rely on all of our fans to spread the word, and we can't thank you enough for doing so.
Definitely, I echo that for sure. So we're gonna wrap it up. We thank everybody again for listening. Again. Go on to the Google Play Store, onto the iTunes Store, onto, what's the other one? Stitcher. Go on there, search Montana Mint. You'll find us, or search Cat Grizz. We're the only ones out there. That's right. And then subscribe to us so you can hear us, download us every week. We hope you find some entertainment value in this. We know we have a fun time doing it. Also, we'd like to thank, again, Lainey Lou and the Bird Dogs. They play us in. They play us out. They're an awesome band. Check out their website. Go see when they're in a bar near you, and they're definitely worth a listen. So we'd like to thank them again for playing us in and out. That's that. We have an exciting week. We'll be talking to everybody next week. Bear Tycoon should be a fun one.
Talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. See you, buddy.